all, welcome everyone. This is our first Thursday public talk. And I usually say there's a rumor in this town that every first Thursday there's a teaching given by me. So you must be here for that public talk. So today's topic is Vipassana and its application in daily life. We also mentioned that we'll do some exercise. What I meant by exercise is some form of maybe role play. That's what I meant. So if you wonder what this exercise means. So before I start talk, first we will recite this this yellow page, and this recitation, Namo Tassa, and these recitation are directly related to Vipassana talk and practice, and especially these recitations are now 2560 year, some like old. So you'll be reciting that old ancient language. So we'll do that as a foundation practice, and then we are using this chair for the first time. And this is called a Dharma chair. Dharma means teaching, or Dharma also means reality, which we'll be talking today. So because of that occasion, we will do first this, and I will strike bell and you stop there. And then I will recite Heart Sutra, which is another essential teaching about Vipassana in Mahayana teaching, and I will mention what it is during my talk. So with that, then I will start actual talk. Okay. And those of you who are new with this, I usually say that you don't have to know. The important practice is you are fully saying it without any fear how you're saying and what you're saying. You are in your movement and you're going like this and just join with the sound and elicitation, and that will be also a practice of Vipassana. Okay, so let's do that for today and we'll see how it goes. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Sai Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa.
Homage to the Blessed One, the Perfect One, fully enlightened one.
Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Dhammam Saranam Gacchami. Sangham Saranam Gacchami. Todiyam Dem Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Todiyam Dem Sangham Saranam Gacchami. Todiyam Dem Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Buddha for refuge. I go to the Dhamma for refuge.
I go to the Sangha for refuge.
Atame chataro ida bhigave bhikkhu
kaye
kayanasi
viharati
atapi
sampajano
satima vinaya loke
avijja
Su vedananupasi
viharati
atati
sampajano
satima
vinaya
loke
avijja
domanasa
chite
chidananupasi
viharati
Atati
sampajano
satima
vinaya
loke
avijja
domanasam
Nesu
dhammani
pasi
viharati
atati
sampajano
satima
vinaya
loke
avijja
domanasam
As a spiritual practitioner remains established in the observation of the body, in the body, diligent with clear understanding, mindful, having abandoned every craving and every faithless lust. A spiritual practitioner remains established in the observation of the feelings, in the feelings, diligent with clear understanding, mindful, having abandoned every craving and every space for this life. A spiritual practitioner remains established in the observation of the mind, in the mind, diligent with clear understanding, mindful, having abandoned every craving and every space for this life. A spiritual practitioner remains established in the observation of the objects of the mind, in the objects of the mind, diligent with clear understanding, mindful, having abandoned every craving and every distaste for this life.
Now I will recite Heart Sutra. Mahayana version of Vipassana teaching. So this teaching basically explains what is reality. Reality in this context means that everything is insubstantial. So the first level is able to hear sound as sound instead of something else. So if you can hear sound as sound, that will be one experience of Vipassana. And then if you take a little bit different level, sound as a wave, then that will be another level. And then if you can take, if you focus on the wave of the sound, and then you will also gain more insights on the insubstantiality of sound, then you are really going deeper Vipassana experiences. But you're not looking for those experiences. The first level is simply focus the sound that you hear. Okay? And there's no interpretation, there's no other conceptual thoughts. If there is, simply notice and go back to the sound. And I'm reciting this again in the form of ceremony for our Dharma chair. So anyone who gives Dharma will sit here But today I end up the first one, so I will recite traditional Dharma.
Amma iso de jo tam je le nam ba gya wa yu ji Tum ba chum den de de jen she ba da chum ba yang Ta ba zo be san je ba gya wa sha ja tu ba la cha Za lo che do je zun che wo So wa de so ching je la do so de ya ta Mune mune ma mune sha ja mune ye so Yedharma hidu barbhava hidun de ken dada gado haya vade de genza neroda yavan vade Ma sharmana yedharma hidu barbhava hidun de ken dada gado haya vade de genza neroda yavan vade Ma sharmana yedharma hidu barbhava hidun de ken dada gado haya vade de genza neroda Yawan wade maa shamana maa sanje me shera pari jin maa ye miga nam ge ngo nye su su rang re yi shi ju yu wa Tu sum je ve yum la cha cha lo jagara ge do banga wade banja para mida rinda ya pe ge do jom den de maa shera je pari du jimbe nyingbo pangbo jigo jom den de maa Shira ye pari du jimba la cha cha lo dike dhagi te pa di jin na chum ten de Gyavya ka cha ke pungpyo ri la ke long ke gintun jimbo tang Chanchu senpe gintun jimbo tang tawa jidu shu de te ye ze chum ten de Samo na wa she cha ye chu ji nam chang ki ting en zin la nyong par shu so Yang te ye ze chanchu senpa jimbo pa pa jin re se Wanchu shira ye pari du jimba samo jiba ni la nam para ta shing Pungpo ngapo teta laya ranshinje tongpa namba tao tene sanji ji tuyo cetan tenpa shari piyo chancho senpa senpa jimpo papa jere se wanchu la. Dike je me so riji punga riji kumo kaana la shira je pari du chimpa samu chupa chepra tuyo pa te chital la pa cha dike je me pa tang. Chancho senpa senpa jimpo papa jere se wanchu ki cetan tenpa shari do di pu la dike je me so shari pu riji punga riji kumo kaana la shira je pari du Chimba samu chupa chepra tuyo te didar namba tawa cha te pungpo ngapo te da jang ranshin je tongpa namba yang tawa je su ta wo Su tongpa wo tongpa ni su so su le tongpa ni shen ma yin tongpa ni le jang su shen ma yin no te shin to tsorwa tang du she tang du she tang Namba re sheba na tongpa wo shari po te da we na che tam je tongpa ni te cen yi me pa ma je pa manga pa tri ma me pa tri ma tang tra wa me pa tri wa me pa ka wa me pa wo Shari po te da we na tongpa ni la su me tso wa me du she me du je na me Namba re sheba me mi me na wa me na me je me lu me yi me su me da me tri me ro me re ja me che me do mi ge ka me pa ne Ije ka me ije nambar je kanji bado ya me do mari ba ze ba me ba ne gaji me gaji ze ve bado ya me do Dunga wadang kunjung wadang go badang la me ije me to ba me ma to ba ya me do Shari bu te da we na chanchu samba na to ba me be chirir shira je pari do chimba la ten ching ne te Semla dhipa mebe dhapa mebe chinchi lo le shinto dene nyanga le tebe ta chinto tuyo sumto nambar shube sanje tamje jang shira je parido chimpa la tene lana meba yantapa zobe chanchu to ngomba zoba sanje so tedawe na shira je parido chimpe nga riba chimpe nga lana mebe nga minyamba ta nyambar chepe nga Dunga tamche rabdu shiva jibe nga minzun pennen tenpar shiva jade shira jibaru du jimbe nga meba deya ta gade gade para gade para sam gade bodhi sowa sharibu janju zimba zimba jimbe deda shira jibaru du jimba sammo la labar chao tene jumden de dingin zente le shinde Chanchu senpa senpa chenpo papa jere se wanchu la leso she jawa jine leso rijibo de jeno rijibo de jende. Shida juje tenpa de jindo shira je parido jimba samo la jeba jade de jen sheba namjan jeso irango chumden de je dike je ka zene cetan tenpa shari do di budan chanchu senpa senpa chenpo papa jere se onju dan tamje dan denbe koro de da dan la da mi dan la ma yin da de zhe ji bie ji de yiran de zhong den de ji song ba la ngen ba de do zhong den de ma she ra ji ba de do jin be ning bo she zhe wa te ba jin bu do zo so ta ye zho wa da dan jin nam la me se ji dan dong an zhong yin ju le dan ni mo do le zhong an yi Diba tam je shiwa zhe do so tab dan gyab dan taba dan te je nye bar junwaan la sin je nam nye lu rab lu du yi le nan do do so san je je dan so je je nam la jan ju ba do dan ni jab sun che da ke je so ji be sun nam dro la ben je san je dro ba yi sho sim je tam je de wa dan de we ju dan den ba ju je dong a dan dong a ge ju dan dro wa ju je dong a me we de wa dan min dro wa ju je nye rin cha dan dan de we dan nyum la ne ba ju je she cha tam je si be je yang ba dro gen ge le dro be tu je je Sāyā tīlē dzēbē tōngā wā jāṅgūyān lāmē shāb lā gājā tsā tsāndēn kīyī kērā vēsē jē tālē tē mō mīmbā rā sāni Gādāṅ tēn jē shūnū tō bā yī lō tē bō bē nā wā tsā tō sō
Thank you. So first of all, I may list some outline for today's public talk, and then I will try to follow it, and I could not finish it, and then I will just let it go. So first, I will define what Vipassana is, and I can mention some history in the East and in the West, and then we can talk about its application in our life. And then to summarize everything, then I will do some role play. And then after that, we'll have the discussion. Okay, so that's my usual format. Now, first of all, before I define what Vipassana is, I have to go back to the basics one more. So in order to understand what Vipassana is, first, it is helpful to clarify, probably demystify what Buddha is, and then we'll talk about Vipassana, because after all, Vipassana is a method how to achieve Buddha. So first of all, my usual definition what Buddha is, Buddha has two characteristics. And the first characteristic is realization of reality. That's exactly what Vipassana means. Vipassana means realization that we able to see our experience as it is, or able to see things as it is. So whenever we gain any degree of realization, that means we actualize that degree of Buddhahood. And the second characteristic is transformation. Transformation of our destructive thoughts and emotions, although there are lots of debates. But for the beginners, it is a form of communication to divide emotions or thoughts into positive, negative, or constructive or destructive. But as we practice or as we understand or gain more knowledge, then we will learn that there is no such concept of positive and negative, or destructive or constructive. So anyhow, going back to the definition of what Buddha is, so Buddha simply means insight, internal qualities. Internal qualities that any individual who actualizes realization or insight or gains some knowledge, and also any individual who transforms or change their unhelpful experiences, at that moment, then the individual also actualizes state of Buddhahood. So what it means is that Buddha is not like some authority that we need to connect. Rather, Buddha is individuals, actual identity or self. So right now we are very busy, and I'm very busy, occupied so many worldly and other activities. So I'm not able to rediscover or connect or actualize the actual who I am, and that will be similar to you. All right. So that means internal qualities are really the emphasis of this tradition or this practice. So now, then the next is, what is Vipassana? I already mentioned earlier what is Vipassana. And I mentioned many times, and those of you have heard from me, literally, prefix means special or special, and in Tibetan language it is called Laktong. Lak means something special or unique. So Vipassana means to see and or to have the insight. I personally like this concept, Vipassana, special insight. That just means that our ordinary knowledge, ordinary understanding, the appearance, seeing appearance, is not Vipassana. But whenever we go beyond from the appearance, then we are able to see the reality. So that's what Vipassana means. So seeing things as it is. That also means seeing things as it is means there's no judgments, there's no interpretations, and there's no our background experiences that affects the things what we see or hear or feel. So Vipassana means seeing things as it is, okay? Or hearing sound as sound. Or if you feel certain emotion, able to experience emotion as emotion. Likewise, able to see our thought as thought instead of facts. Able to see our sensations as sensations. So these are the meaning of Vipassana. Now, in terms of history, traditional Vipassana is slightly different from now what is introduced in the West. Sometimes I heard that French fries doesn't exist in France, but in the US you have a French fries. Not exactly the same, but sometimes it may present like that, but that is not actually a problem or issue, because it is a method how to access and how to introduce, how to practice. So maybe we need different type of Vipassana in the US compared to Vipassana in the East. All right, so let me expand a little bit what I meant by that. So Vipassana is considered as one of the effective antidotes. So there are many antidotes in Buddhist teaching or philosophy or psychology practices. And some intervention or antidotes, solutions are designed to transform the root cause of our dukkha or our suffering or our pain or whatever experience we have, especially experience that we don't want. So Vipassana is considered as antidote to eliminate or to transform the root cause of dukkha. So for example, if we experience stress, there's a two antidote from Buddhist classical teaching. One is called Vipassana, and another meditation is called Shamatha. So without the Shamatha, we cannot develop Vipassana in terms of training and practice purposes. Shamatha just means it's a mental state that includes three components. One component is paying attention. The second component is being aware. And third is literally means recollection, but it means resilience. So in order to gain concentration or effective or particular paying attention. Now, it is very, very interesting. That actually we don't need to cultivate paying attention. And that's what I learned throughout these many years. We have a great paying attention, and especially on things that are not helpful for ourselves and others. For example, if I experience, let's say, depression, or anxiety, or stress, I would have a great paying attention. And that's how it works. So paying attention is a primary factor for all positive and negative experiences. But what we are talking, this shamatha means particular paying attention. Like a vipassana, special insight, special concentration that requires both awareness and resilience. What it means is that we focus on our sensation of our breath, and whenever our mind goes somewhere, so we are aware, yes, my mind is going somewhere else. And this resilient meaning that now you are able to notice and bring back to that breathing. If breathing is your object or your mind. Now, if we do that again, now I call it special concentration or special or particular paying attention. Now, contemporary mindfulness definition is really same. John Kabat-Zinn defines mindfulness as mindfulness means paying particular attention in the present moment, on purpose in the present moment, and non-judgmentally. That is exactly what shamatha means. That is also exactly means vipassana. So sometimes they all mean same, but at different names. So anyhow, this practice of shamatha, special concentration, that's what I'm calling it today, is foundation for vipassana. So without that special concentration, sometimes, other times I call it mental stability. So without the mental stability, then we cannot gain the insight like vipassana. So therefore, if we experience stress, the immediate method, antidote to reduce the stress is to practice the shamatha. So shamatha will take care the superficial or the upper level. and it does, actually, if we are able to redirect our awareness to something that is neutral, that something is helpful, then our mind will stay with that. And that is actually the beauty of mind, is the mind actually rests where we want to put it after practice and forming habit. And then vipassana is trying to change the root source of stress. So now you can apply the same approach for other daily life experiences, anger, or sometimes for the positive. Let's say if we have a joy or happiness, usually we may not apply these. They could be different individuals. But in Buddhist teaching and practice, you still apply shamatha and vipassana for the positive qualities. Because after all, these antidotes needs to be consistent, no discriminations for the negative one and positive. If it is a fact, then it should apply both. Okay? All right. Now, that is the how vipassana is practiced. So in the East, there is a shamatha and vipassana, particularly vipassana, both in Theravadan context and Mahayana, or all Buddhist teaching, actually explains three insights. And the first one is every condition is unsatisfactory. My translation is every condition is distressful. Every condition. If it is happy, can be still. If it is a birthday, can be still stressful. If you are graduating, can be still stressful. But there is de-stressful experience too. So in our life, every condition is understood as distressful. Only when our consciousness is under the influence of judgmental thoughts and destructive emotions. Okay? So it's not like saying life is good. Life is good, that commercial thing, the head and okay. Now it may sound great. Life is good. But that we call it provisional meaning. Meaning for the purpose to maybe inspire people who need to lift up or need to sell their commercial things, so they just say, life is good. Well, life is not good if we analyze. But life is, if I say life is not good or life is stressful, then that is half true. It's incomplete truth. To make it full and make it more definite meaning, then life is distressful when our consciousness or our life is influenced by our judgmental thoughts and negative emotions or destructive behaviors. Now that is long, but that is actual fact, I think. All right. The second insight, vipassana, is that every condition is impermanent. Every condition changes every moment. My thought, my emotion, my sensation, my body, and your existence. So if it is a fact, then it should be consistent. So my happiness is also impermanent. My joy is also impermanent. Now that may sound like very, very discouraging. But if we understand that our stress is also impermanent, our anxiety is also impermanent, then it is different. So sometimes we want to hear that. But what happens is, with this understanding, then actually it is more uplifting, more inspiring, because it is, every condition is impermanent. Now it is the opposite. Instead of feeling down and depressed, actually that empowers us that now we can make change. And that is the actual message. We can change and transform because it is impermanent. So if something is permanent, then we really get stuck. But then perceptionally, we actually tend to perceive our experience as permanent. So if I experience some loss, I may view that loss as some form of permanent. And more I see and perceive my experience of loss as a permanent, never-ending, that there will not be any gain forever, then that is example how I am seeing things permanent. But on the other hand, if I'm able to see the loss as impermanent, there's a loss, there's a gain, there's a loss. So I think these days, I understand that in this therapy, dialectic behavior therapy, if you heard, that is the same idea, that you are able to hold both the opposite at the same time. So usually we have a loss and then we maybe just forgot the gain side of that. But when we have a gain and we also ignore or loss the side of the loss. So in this practice, one is able to hold both side of the coin. Okay, so there is a loss, there's a gain, there's a gain, there's a loss. So that's example of what impermanent means. Impermanent means that every condition, every experience changes and never stays the next moment. Now, that includes death and dying as a grosser, and then subtler impermanence that we do not see ourselves changing, but suddenly it is changing, and then suddenly we'll be very surprised. At that time, we are not seeing the subtle meaning of impermanence, and it will surprise us. Now that is the second one, second Vipassana concept, traditionally. The third one is what I mentioned earlier, that every condition is insubstantial. Every condition is free from inherent existence. What it means is that every condition exists because of cause and condition. Whether it is happy or unhappy, whatever experience we have, all depend each other, its own cause and condition. Therefore, there is no experience that arises independently. Okay, so sometimes in our life, we have tendency to see things very independently, like as if this experience actually came independently without any cause and condition. But the minute we know that this result is caused by these cause and condition, then it leads us to change. So anyhow, the third means every condition is insubstantial, selfless, and every condition is interdependent nature. All right. So these are the traditional meaning of Vipassana. Okay. So I also mentioned how to apply these through examples. So in the West, these concepts are not attractive for many individuals. And contemporary teachers understood, whereas traditional teachings would focus on these, and then sometimes individuals engage, and other times individuals don't want to hear. I come here to hear good things, happy things, and then people hear all kinds of reality that is both positive and negative. So in the West, contemporary teachers introduce Vipassana primarily in the form of two methods. One method is called Anapanasati, means mindfulness of breathing. And there's a separate text that explains how to be mindful when we inhale and exhale. And it applies to many other experiences, so that's how it becomes one text. Essentially, that's what it means. So one is aware of one's own breathing as we inhale and exhale. So that seem to be more effective for Westerners. And so that's why you hear more about mindfulness of breathing meditation in the form of Vipassana. The another form of Vipassana in the West is, which is very, very popular, mindfulness. So four foundations of mindfulness. And that's what we are going to focus. Okay. So four foundation mindfulness. Mindfulness of body, mindfulness of feelings, mindfulness of thought or mind. And the last one, or the fourth one, is mindfulness of Dhamma in Pali. But in Sanskrit, it is called Dharma. So you see how Pali language and Sanskrit language are really close. So the examples that I gave earlier, those three concepts or three realities of reality of life, relates to the fourth one. So in terms of practice, in the past I didn't think about how this teaching is suitable for us, including myself. But I realized that actually these teachings are designed, maybe in modern times, you could call it cognitive development, something like that. So starting from the concrete object of body, meaning breathing and sensation, and then less concrete feelings or emotion, and less concrete or more abstract mindfulness of thought or mind, and then most abstract philosophical concept is at the very end. Okay. So when you practice mindfulness or Anapanasati or Satipatthana, that is Pali term for mindfulness practices. When you are focusing on the breathing, you're really not actually designed to focus on the breathing. Breathing is like I call it mental toy to focus on. So we always need some toy throughout our life. So as an adult, we still need, our mind needs to be entertained all the time. During the sleep time too. So the essential meaning of mindfulness of breathing or sensation, the main purpose is to gain those three insights. But maybe teachers will not tell you to see life is dukkha and life is impermanent and life is insubstantial, then teaching would not be appropriate, because that is for intermediate level or maybe advanced level. And so it's a useless. It's not like intention to trick practitioners. But if you focus on breathing, and then you focus on breathing, and breathing comes and goes. And then the teaching says, now let's apply this without emotion. Let's see how watching, being aware of breathing actually is consistent or helpful. And so then you end up watching your emotion. When it comes, you become aware. When it goes, then you become aware. When you hold and grasp with emotion, and you are aware of that. So when you are aware of that, suddenly, then you gain these insights. Especially, you gain the insight of impermanence. Because you see breathing comes and go, so your Likewise, your thoughts and emotions come and go. And so basically, you become very, very objective. Become very, very objective that you treat all your experience same way as your breathing. Okay, so breathing comes and goes. Likewise, you also do the same with feelings, thoughts, both positive and negative. So now everything becomes very, very insubstantial. Then it brings this freedom, actually, freedom or liberation from getting stuck. So there is lots of movement. And in Buddhist terms, it's called non-attachment. But now these days, it is translated as psychological flexibility. We don't say now non-attachment because that is so confusing terms. So after all, more you gain these concepts and actual experience of these concepts, then it seems that in our daily life, then there is a less reaction, more respond, less judgmental thoughts, more non-judgmental experiences, more experience than just thinking about the experience. So life might be different. All right, so here I want to get some your question at this time. Any question, anything that is not clear for you, or you want to hear more about it?
Oh, I have a question. So you said that in the West, teachers tend to sort of, at least initially, emphasize the breathing.
Yes.
You know, as the first method. So the other method would be what?
Foundation mindfulness.
Yeah.
And so, well, why do you think Vipassana is, or mindfulness is becoming popular in the West? What is your understanding? Yes.
I think it's because the West is more materialistic. And so if a person is striving for these materialistic things, and then reality is that it's of no value because it's not permanent, it becomes very stressful.
Mm. So Kurt, actually, let me introduce briefly the concept of Tibetan Vajrayana. Now in the West it's called Tantrayana, so it creates lots of misunderstanding. So Vajrayana is one of the Buddhist tradition, at least method. So in Theravadan tradition, mostly practice are designed for monastic communities, although it includes lay practitioners. Because the main objective of Theravadan practice is to really free from the samsara, the cycle of suffering and the sources of suffering. So it makes sense that the monastic life could be helpful, but the Vajrayana is designed for individuals who want to have all the materials in their life, do not want to change their life, want to have family like myself, have all the things, family, material, house, car, and all the different things, life, but learning how to live with all of the stressful things. And so historically, that's how the Vajrayana teaching began. So there's an Indian king who had a conversation with historical Buddha. He mentioned that he wants to do spiritual practice, but he could not give up his kingdom and his queen and his whole royal life. And so he requested that, I want a teaching and a spiritual practice that actually do not need to give up, do not need to be, need to join in monastic, remain lay person, lay practitioner, but still able to practice. So anyhow, this Vajrayana model can be really suitable in the West, and it is considered as a more faster path than the Theravadin, because Theravadins traditionally stay in monasteries, stay in a quiet place. So it is helpful temporarily, but if that person joins in the society, then that person actually still need to handle all the societal stress. So it's like a temporary free. So from that point of view, idea is we're not looking for the stress in our life, but if stress comes and learn how to live with that, then that actually life is a fast phase transformation. Yes.
My understanding of Vipassana comes from the teachings of Goenkaji.
Yes.
Where that the monastic life is combined to develop the Vipassana practice.
Yes.
So that a person spends 10 days, 20 days,
right,
in that monastic mode to learn,
right,
the meditation technique, mm-hmm, that can be applied in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my understanding of how this was brought to the West,
yes,
through his teaching.
Right. And it is really true. It is true that Theravadin practice does not exclude the lay people's practice. There is a lay people spiritual community which also practice Vipassana. So that's what I usually think, that as a lay practitioner might actually have a greater chance to speed up
yes,
the whole experience.
The moving along the path,
yeah,
is part of one's everyday life.
Right.
But it's not uniquely that of the monastic life.
Right. So if we spend like in a monastic kind of life, then it is helpful at that time, but it may also restrain us to actually expand and speed up our transformation. That's what I mean.
And the other part of that, which I learned from this technique, is that the anapana,
uh-huh,
part,
uh-huh,
is in preparation,
yes,
to set the stage,
right,
for the practice of,
right,
Vipassana meditation.
That's
which
true.
Comes on the fifth day of the 10-day,
right,
monastic experience.
Yes.
And then the last 5 days are devoted to the,
right,
more to the awareness of focusing on bodily sensations.
Right. Right. So that is actually the model that is very, very helpful in the West. So basically, there's a tendency to focus more on the Vipassana, but it really actually includes the Shamatha the concentration piece. That's what how breathing is used as a method to increase concentration.
I am also of the understanding that this is also how it is practiced in India.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm having a little bit of confusion about how the West is different in terms of the teaching of Vipassana.
Mm. So I cannot say exactly total difference, but I think the 10-day is designed by Govindaji and his teachers. I think sometimes there is a special like enlightenment day, enlightenment month, and there is a 10-day retreat and 15-day retreat. So. But the purpose is to apply in our daily life. So train within 10 days and maintain throughout daily life.
And then it's suggested that every year one goes through at least a 10-day renewal of the monastic life to continue your twice daily practice.
Right. Now monastic life is not, I don't mean any negative sense. And I analyze myself, what is the purpose of monastic life in the West? And then I actually realize that that is very, very necessary. Actually, it is a very, very healthy thing to do. That means remain in 1-day retreat or 2-3 days retreat. Or like you have professional retreats, and so if it works, then we also need this retreat to do mindfulness or vipassana, and that's how actually it might help to gain more insight. Okay, all right. So now it's getting warm here. Okay. So I do not have a loud voice if we play this, so kind of dilemma now. that itself is a dukkha. Alright, so I usually mention that there's a different stages of vipassana practice. So first, a physical position is really crucial. How we create a position will definitely affect our mental stability. So first, train specific physical position, and then choose an object like breathing or flower, whatever the object is stable. And then once we actually able to gain degree of mental stability and this special concentration, and now we can actually engage with inquiry, and that is part of the mindfulness. So inquiry here meaning that while you are doing meditation and you will experience different like sensations or thoughts and emotions. So our ordinary experience is that if we feel anger, then we just stuck there. I feel anger, and there's no further inquiry. And then actually we tend to get stuck. That will be same for stress, for depression, for happiness. So the vipassana and the mindfulness, which is very different from other meditation tradition, is that this involves inquiry. So I want to touch what that inquiry process look like, and then if we have a time, I can show you some demonstration. So so let's say I feel restlessness or want to get up while I'm sitting. So usually the ordinary experience is that I may get up, I feel restless, and I just say, I feel restless, and I react to that, and I may get up and leave outside and do something else. Okay? So there is no inquiry. There is not insight. That is not a mindfulness. That is not a vipassana. So if we apply vipassana for restlessness, then we're asking question. How does this restless feel like? And now I am actually challenging my feeling of restlessness. I am defining, I am trying to gain more insight. And then we can apply one by one for mindfulness practice. So when you feel restlessness, what do you notice physically? So let's say I feel restlessness and I ask question, what do I notice, any physical sensations when I feel restlessness? And not only that, you're also asking question or observing, how do I manage it? Am I reacting to that sensation of restlessness? Or observing, able to see restlessness as restlessness? It seems that is very, very helpful. And now I'm still not done. I want to challenge more with my restlessness. And I ask myself, what about feelings when I feel restlessness? And then I observe myself, what feelings I am having. And then I observe whether I'm reacting to that feeling of restless, or I am responding to that. So maybe sometimes we may end there, but in order to do the complete inquiry process, then we have to ask another inquiry, engage with another inquiry, that is, what thoughts do I experience or notice when I feel restlessness? Okay. So now if I go through this process of challenging myself when I feel restlessness, now going through this process, what do you think is happening?
Not so restless?
Why not?
You've distracted yourself.
Distracted ourselves to actually gain fully understanding of restlessness.
Wouldn't you be going deeper into oneself to find out what is causing the restlessness? What you are running away from?
Mm. That is not important yet.
Okay.
What is causing now? Because that will take us different level. So here, the focus is to redefine what restlessness is. So if we go through this process, now we will understand restless means that physically this experience and emotionally this feeling and then cognitively this thought. And now, once I gain these components of restlessness, sometimes that itself is solution. I don't need to come up any further solution, because that itself will. So this process will actually help us to understand, able to see restless as restlessness, rather something very, very destructive and scary. This will also help us able to see a sensation as sensation, and feelings as feeling, and thoughts as thoughts. And then the concept of restlessness actually might dissipate. Okay. Yes?
So it's almost as though you're deconstructing the concept. And
yeah,
then,
you can,
of course, it's not no longer... You might still feel restless, but it won't be restless anymore.
Yeah. Yes.
You can't believe in restlessness.
That is true, actually. Actually, that is a true nirvana. True nirvana and enlightenment. True nirvana and true enlightenment for us is feeling all the emotions, positives and negatives and neutrals, and able to process through experiencing rather thinking what it means. Then we reach a point where that these stress or these problems actually become simply some form of experience and will not necessarily affect our daily life very much. And then it is called abiding nirvana. Abiding nirvana, that is, so you live with all experience, yet you are not affected by daily distressful situations. So in that sense, as long as we survive with this body, the reality is that we will experience all kinds of experience and able to learn how to live and how to process. And then when we die, then there will be a different story. No one knows exactly. Yes.
You spoke about states of mind and applying different antidotes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So when you're in sort of like a disruptive state of mind and you want it to be over, when is the best to apply this method of inquiry, or when to try to seek out the antidote?
It seems that if I have a package, my first step is first able to be aware, it seems. Just being aware. So I have an acronym, if you like acronyms. Letter R, like A-R-E.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, so A means awareness. So awareness means simply knowing whatever is happening. And I learned that simply knowing what is happening itself is a great solution. Because when we go through cycle of experiences, at that moment, we're really not aware of the situation. That means we are in a reactive mode. So we are just going round and round. But if we slow down, and if we focus on flower, or focus on breathing, or focus on car, or walking, that helps to free from getting caught up with that reactive mode. So because of that, simply becoming aware, that would be really my first step. And I don't do anything, just simply because become aware. And once I become aware of destructive, whatever is happening, then the second is to respond. So if I become aware, then I have more choice, more control. I have a more kind of holistic perspective of the situation. By the time, actually, I may gain more insights. Okay. So respond meaning non-judgmental meaning as it is, stress as stress, or anger as anger, instead of anger as destructive, or happiness as happiness, instead of happiness something positive. Once I do the second, that R, respond, and then E stands for engaging, then engage. But without going through the awareness and the responding, then do not engage. So I try to try best to go these three steps.
So would the awareness be the antidote, and then you go to the inquiry after that?
So awareness and then inquiry includes within the awareness, and then respond as it is, non-judgmentally, and then engage with whatever is happening in daily life. So even I scream, then it is helpful to scream with awareness. But with awareness, you cannot scream. So, but that's the idea. That's how it works. Okay. So, any other question? Yes.
One more. And going back to your first talk about restlessness, and you talked about, you know, awareness of the sort of sensations of the body, and what feelings that brought up, and what thoughts there might be. The fourth part is the objects, the object of the mind. I'm wondering if there's a fourth.
The object of mind, or the mindfulness of Dhamma.
In that restlessness situation.
Well, then after going through these mindfulness of body or sensation, mindfulness of feelings, mindfulness of thought, then we eventually reach to the mindfulness of Dhamma, which is object of mind or gaining insight. So it comes. Sometimes it is helpful not to look for these insights, but you simply engage the method, and then it will come, and that will surprise us, and that will be like a I call it positive flashbacks. So it will create a stronger memory. Okay. All right. Any other questions?
I have a question about insubstantiality.
Yes.
And if by that you mean, or I, if by that you mean that things are feelings, emotions, thoughts are. are insubstantial. They're constructs of our minds. They're not real. They're not.
It may appear to be real, like this wall, appear to be very substantial.
Or solid, but it's not.
Solid, yeah,
right.
But it is not. If we apply that same with our thoughts, there's no reason why we cannot. If it is, if impermanence is a true reality, then it should apply both inside and outside, or inside and outside. So if we apply the same, but it doesn't mean that we're not saying we are having delusion. That's why it is important to first able to see anger as anger. We join with the societal concepts, and after that, then you're asking, what is anger? How does anger feel like? What is the the physical part that you notice. What, so if we go like that, then it brings the insubstantiality of the restlessness. So if you gain that experience, then what happens? One of the main purpose of this whole concept is individual might have less grasping on both the positive experience and negative experience in life. Because then you may apply the same techniques on grasping. But if the object itself is very, very insubstantial, then our mind would not try to grasp on that. And so that's called liberation. Mm-hmm. That is called actually nirvana. Mm-hmm. But it seems first we need to, if we get stuck something, then we sometimes it is helpful to stay there. If we stay there and we'll do the vipassana inquiry, what is this stagnation? What physical sensations I notice when I feel this stuckness? And what are the emotions? What are the thoughts? And then asking question, is stuckness permanent or impermanent? Is stagnation substantial or insubstantial? So that's why sometimes vipassana is also called analytical meditation. But in the West, contemporary teachers call it inquiry. So I live with that. So inquiry process. Okay. Anything else? So now, any volunteer? You stay there wherever you are. I will try my best to show you how to apply this in your life, and how one can apply this to someone else. You want to try that?
Yes.
So, Kai, do you want to try? I do not have any special thing, but I may repeat what I just said.
Okay. Well, it comes to mind when America had the 9/11 event, and the emotional feelings that were there, and I guess it was the repetition, which to a certain extent ended up as being reinforcement of a terrible situation that we wanted to place blame. And how do you work out of that?
Could you mention? So let's say you have just finished your vipassana practice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you just came out of your vipassana session.
Mm-hmm.
And let me then guide. Okay, so Kurt, during your vipassana meditation, what experiences you notice?
Anger.
So you experience anger. Okay. How does anger feel like to you?
I feel very painful because I can't find relief.
When you say painful, what do you notice about physical sensations, or what physical sensations you notice when you experience painful?
Headache.
All right. So you experience headache when you experience painful situation. What reactions you notice to that headache? What did you notice? What reactions you what reactions you notice, or what response you notice with the headache?
I noticed the response that it was increasing gradually and not at once. And the more I thought about it, the more painful it was.
Okay. All right, so I think I didn't follow well as I explain, so I'm just going to repeat it, how I may apply even in therapeutic sessions. So basically I will redefine what pain feel like, and I will ask what are the physical sensation component it, and then I will ask what reactions, what response. And after that, I will ask what feelings you experience and respond reaction. And then I will ask what thoughts around painful situation. And after that, what reactions and thoughts. And then I would say, what would it be like to just notice your physical sensations, your feelings, your thoughts around pain, just as another experience occurring in the present moment, like noticing your breathing and paying attention, judgment.
The different set of circumstance when you change your focus from one thing, the mind gravitates to that, and when you focus on it, then you kind of lose the other issue.
Right. So my summary is, so once we practice, then I have actually, then it makes sense if I guide like this, so then person may experience or notice one's pain, same as breathing. And same as breathing, letting come, letting go. So that's the idea. All right. Any other question before we conclude? Getting really warm, right? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So how about this? We usually have dedication prayers. And Brenda, you want to mention about your friend? Is that okay?
I'd like you to keep my friend Sherry Zimney in your mind as we do these dedication prayers. She just passed on Tuesday, so I'm trying to help her through the body. So I'd like your help with that.
Okay. All right. So let's do our dedication. And at the end of this, some of you have the yellow, or if you have a white, the yellow, this one. Okay. So, all right.
Jambai Bawe Chitai Kemba Tang Kun Du Sambo Peyang De Shen De Te Da Kun Yi Che Su Da Lo Che Yeah.
So thank you everyone coming. I know today might be very, very important day for you. I like to listen Bill Clinton's speech yesterday. I have missed Barack Obama's speech. But anyhow, for next October, November, December, these three first Thursdays, teaching theme is Changing Mind, Changing Life, based on traditional mind training teachings. So if you have a time, hopefully room will be more comfortable next time. So enjoy your life, and that's all for today.